You are now tuned in to Live Free or Die Radio. We got a special guest in the building today. We got Dart Adams coming on in a bit to talk with y'all. Before we get into that, need to let everyone know the details. And those are submissions at lfodradio.com. If you're an artist tuned in, send us some clean records. At LFOD Radio on everything internets except for Twitter, which is Live Free OD Radio. We're working on that. But if you type in LFOD, we pop right up basically on anything. And if you want to hear our podcasts, those are all on lfodradio.com or mixcloud.com/LFOD Radio. That's the direct source. We do it there instead of SoundCloud because we play music. SoundCloud doesn't like that. So that's where we're at. Although we are going to test and we're going to post a snippet on SoundCloud tomorrow. So definitely don't sleep on that. That's soundcloud.com/LFOD. We repost. The likes playlist is good. New England hip hop. It's got all our ciphers, et cetera, et cetera. So definitely stay tuned with all of that. With that being said, we got a lot to talk about today. So we're going to get right into some music and then be back with Dart. I haven't heard this song yet, but it just hit my inbox. It's by Dot Demo. It's called Me Part 2. We were playing his Indigenous Man record a lot earlier in the year. So far, I like what he's doing. So we're going to give him a blind play of faith here. And hopefully we are rewarded. Anyway, Dot Demo, Me Part 2. You're tuned in to Live Free or Die Radio.
See, I was taught the truth is what you make it. Some shit like that. I used to give a fuck who was your favorite, but ayy. When these feelings start to fill in deep inside of your chest, and the wine of spirits come alive and body the flesh, your wise tell me to rest. Blunts of stress is best to keep it low. Windows of your soul to show what you won't confess, and hopes to die with the closet closed. Mama will never find out, but trust me, the father knows. Moment of silence goes out till my sour violence grows out the concrete that constantly kills my company, keep my foes. So I keep an extra rose right next to this tray gate. Prepare your ass for proper closure. Say hello to your fate, huh? Say goodbye to this world and say my name at the gates. Tell him I got no referrals, but I still do what it takes. And I'm just human, so can't my sins get a pass for mistakes? Just assume it, but if I pray, will my past be erased? Since I mocked the wrath of God, will I crash in a wraith? Since I never claimed a spot, will my plague be replaced? Since all I'm lacking is faith, can't I just wait until my date to finally make a decision? Or should I stake your pay for my way of living? Am I forbidden? Cause religion got me conflicted, and Christian bros got me lifted, still question this shit. Or should I quit just being me?
I'm only human. Live day by day.
Well, you could tell him off. Now I plan on changing shit, but location, cadence, and known like Gary wrote Revelation. A Holy Ghost reservation, day in and out. My route is based on my patience, pace around the good book. I skim through the pages, swim through the matrix and back. My only fear is that I might get attached, strapped at every occasion, chain reaction. Cupid's taking a snatch, pull up, they took evasive action. It's safe to say how you act for real don't match how you rapping. Lacking that skill to stay trill, why killish coaches like Philip and molded soldiers to throw the game on our teenage shoulders. Life is supposed to be trifle. Let's hit the globe up and get this dough up. Got down and dirty before we glowed up. Now the boys done grown up, got right.
Cause I'm only human, living this life every day. I'm only human, so I'm gonna say what I need to say.
Society. Me and A0 suicide. Cop the Jesus beat so that your jewels can shine. Jacob, fix your crucifix and you can crucify this Judas die. Please tell me how you crucified. When all we got is the homies on a block right now. So I come up for the spot right now. Die for the street name, not the slave master. Force captain that gon' probably had a block locked down. Yeah, cause these young babies have no guidance. Looking around and we won't find it. It ain't on your PlayStation newspaper or your news station, Instagram, Twitter, or your closed eyelids. Wake up. What they say we gotta be, it ain't us. Just the way they say they hate us. Then they cake up. I can tell you that the government's corrupt, but you knew it, so it really ain't enough. So I might rock the clothes, but I know it's wrong. Hard to break the chains I've been holding on. They hide what's X-rated from your view, cause it's the truth, it frees you, but they won't for long. Because
we face society's ills, we can't deny that it's real. We face society's ills, destroy what we're trying to build. We spent our time in the field, we can't deny that it's real. We can't deny that it's real. We face society's ills, we face society's ills. We face society's ills, we face society.
Should be on cover of the High Times. Walk in my closet, get sky miles. Trap Einstein, Japanese out on one tons. Gave a D like Shondon, told Shorty Quiet Don. So many acres, man, my kids can't trick or treat, because the neighbors stay on a whole nother street. Politics as usual, I bought a suit for it. Puff got a party Friday, I bought a coupe for it. Who you know by the borders and don't drink? I sleep, shower in my gold link. Got titty boy tatted on the butt cheeks. If you don't pray for 7 days, it make 1 week. Let's take a smoke break. Got a 38 special that hold 8. Got a room with marble floors and gold drapes. With a badass f***ing like to serve grapes. Got a rape that I use for a bachelor pad. Still made all A's in back of the glass. On the cover now, started from back of the mag. Now it's back of the bag. Got my happiness back. If I happen to brag, it's accepted by the culture. Duncan and one touchdown boasting. This is exactly where it happened. Mix it cold with soda, you get me. And a roller, you get me. The holder, this the Crack Vibe Chronicles. Explore Nautica, Eddie Bauer Expo. AR Silencer, vibrant like the spring colors. Rapping about the team murders. Rapping while me mugging. Shoulda get supreme coverage. Let's have a smoke break. 38 special, the whole 8. Got a room with marble floors and gold drapes. With a badass like the third grade. Yeah, let's have a smoke break. Got a 38 special, the whole 8. Got a room with marble floors and gold drapes. With a badass like the third grade. So I got my feet up on Geekin' One.
All right, we're back on Live Free or Die Radio. That's the new Stack Selector, 2 Chainz, Smoke Break. Before that, we had Bakari JB with Society's Ills. Shout out to Bakari. He's been overseas with the Beantown Bullies for the last few weeks. I believe they're hitting A3C this weekend. And then they're back to the city. So shout out to the whole Bullies movement. We need a clean of back home.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Immediately.
I was just playing that for my boy yesterday when he came to visit.
That's the record. I mean, the whole album's good. Yeah. We got Dart Adams in the building.
What up, how are humans?
We're discussing Greatest X. Pretty solid record.
Yeah, 35 tracks, man. The listening was great because it was like, all right, so you get to catch up with everybody. You get to hear half an album. Then we have a dinner break.
Yep.
And then it's like, all right, now we go back and we listen to the rest of the album. It could have been a sleepover, man. It was bananas.
It was, yeah, it really was. Definitely a good time. Shout out to them. Rex, we got a Rex podcast, LFODradio.com as well, where he came in the day before he left, I think. So.
Rhythmatic King Supreme.
Yep, exactly.
And he has a release coming out on the 14th. I think he's having a listening party or something.
Another one?
Another one.
Yeah. Another one.
Yeah. He mentioned it before he left. I wrote another it down, one. So it has to happen.
All right, we're going to have to talk to him about that. He's got everything going on.
Has to happen.
Yeah, I know he's doing a show, because he didn't do a show in Boston to kick off the tour, so yeah, I'll bet he's got some homecoming.
Jump right into the tour.
Right. But anyway, we're here with Dart Adams. Why don't we have Chick-fil-A?
Look, man, I don't understand why we don't have a Chick-fil-A. I don't understand why we don't have a Nando's. I don't understand why we don't have a lot of things.
So I have an explanation for it. So I'm from the South.
Oh, yes. Wow.
Chick-fil-A is on, like, well, not every corner, but we have way more Chick-fil-A's than in Boston. So I was complaining about it at an airport, and some guy was like, well, we don't have Chick-fil-A because Chick-fil-A is very strict on, like, gay and homosexual rights and different things like that. So like in Boston, it would have been like a huge debate thing.
Yeah,
so they decided to just keep it outside of Boston.
It's in Western Mass. Yeah. You can
There's
go out there
Braintree
and get it.
Too.
There is one in Braintree. Someone told me that there was one in Massachusetts. I'm like, that's very wide open and open-ended. And
in Burlington. There's one in Burlington.
Burlington. Might as well get on a plane to New York and take a
right.
jump off with a, you know, a parachute and just land in Burlington.
Right.
How do you get to Burlington?
Who knows? I think 90, 95, maybe.
That's a long walk.
Maybe. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, we're dealing with Walker here. Hey,
I'm like Johnny Appleseed without the apple seeds.
That's what you need to do. You need to start leaving a trail.
And the police can always find me.
Yeah, that's true, yeah.
So...
You could be like, you'd be good at those, what are those games that brands do now where they like leave stuff around the city and you go find it?
Oh, let
they
me
should
tell
just
you.
Give you a bunch of stuff.
I participate every time they do it, especially when the Red Sox do it.
Yeah.
And they leave stuff around. I'm like, I know where that is.
Yeah.
But I end up there and there are always two people ahead of me who live right there. And they're like, yeah. Sorry, dude, I got it. One time, I was doing this thing for Red Sox tickets, and I went to all five locations, and they saw me at all five locations to the point where they were just giving me coupons. They just gave me a gang of coupons, because they were like, dude, you were the second guy, the third guy, and the second guy.
Yeah.
It was bananas.
Oh, man. We got to get you a moped or something.
Yeah, plus, on top of that, I have the worst sense of direction in the history of Boston hip-hop. Ask anybody. Anybody will tell you that I will always get lost. I leave my house super early when I go somewhere, unless I go somewhere all the time and I know where it is.
Right.
Like, my kryptonite, had I been Superman, my kryptonite would be Somerville, Roslindale, and where are we right now?
We're right on the Somerville-Medford border.
Yeah, okay, so Somerville-Medford, that whole section, that whole area, I get lost here super easy.
Well, I believe you made it to Arlington last time.
Yeah.
So, for those that don't know, Dart is a return guest, so we're not doing any introductions. You can go Google LFOD Dart Adams, and there's two episodes up there.
Yeah, I've been here.
Yeah. You know now, though, so.
Yeah.
We're on point. So, what, other than, you know, the lack of food options in Boston, what's on your mind these days before we start hitting you with the hard-hitting questions? Whoa.
Like, the whole, what I used to do is I was, I guess, a rap journalist or a hip-hop journalist, but in the space I'm in, I'm not really doing that too much, because when something's essential, that means you make space for it. That means you make allowances for it. That means you recognize that this is needed. This voice, this whatever it is something that is necessary and needs to be amplified, needs to be here. No space is being made. So it's getting to the point where, like, less and less and less of my income comes from actually writing for somebody. Where it's like, I can go outside of the space that I actually toiled in for the past decade and make money immediately and get paid more and be respected more for what I do and what I bring to the table than where I actually carved out a niche and I worked at, you know?
Right.
So it's that's scary and sad. So it's like, it's getting to the point now where, like, whereas I was a rap journalist, writer guy, and that's what I was known for, I'm still known for it. But if you go look up what I've written for somebody lately.
Well, you retired at one point.
I retired 3 times.
Because I do see it on Twitter. I see you get the, like, thought you were retired shots.
Yeah, you know,
the new writers aren't.
No, trust me.
Are not a fan of you popping up and back. And
here's the thing. I did retire several times, and I kept getting brought back.
Okay.
The last time I retired.
It's like Godfather.
I was good.
Yeah.
I was done. And I kept getting asked to write stuff. And I was like, no, I'm done. I kept getting asked to write stuff. And then OK Player hit me. And they were like, we need you to write X, Y, and Z. And I'm like, I'm not doing it. I was like, we need you to do this.
Yeah.
And I was like, fine. And I gave them a number that I knew they wouldn't match.
Yeah.
I got an email back 30 minutes later, said my editors and everybody said he's worth it. They agreed to it. And I was like, God. So I came back. And
yeah.
A lot of people were pissed off about that because they thought they were done with me. And I explained to them, I was like, had you been on your job, had you done X, Y, and Z, had you filled the void, nobody would have called for me. But what's happening now is that there's less and less need for me to do something. So I don't pitch anything. I know what I want to write. The question is, are you going to pay me for it?
Right.
I don't do the negotiation. I'm like, I'm writing this for this time. Do you want it? If you don't respond, I'm posting it on Medium. The last thing that happened with was I did a piece about the Get Down. So I did a piece about the Get Down and about how there's this thing where you have the culture and then you have to reconcile it with entertainment. And that's hard to do. And I'm like, I know you can't fit everything into this, but you could have done a better job of being true to the culture while you're entertaining.
Not gonna lie, you're part of the reason I never watched that show.
See, the thing is,
because I read like not the whole thing, but like half of it. And I was like, all right, like he's ripping this apart. Like,
yeah, but
I'm just gonna slide.
But my whole thing was that my perspective came from somebody who knows the culture inside and out, who was disappointed with the level of cultural, you know, things that were in it. Because I know anybody who was around at that time is going to be asked questions and they gotta be like, nah, that didn't really happen. Nah, it didn't happen like that. This person's missing. So that was my angle on that. And I was telling people, watch it. Please watch it. Watch it to death. If you enjoy it, that's fine. If you disagree with me, that's totally fine. Because I want it so that it does enough numbers where we'll get another shot.
Mm.
Right.
To do something that's more along the lines of the culture. Because if you guys ignore it and it gets canceled and doesn't do it, when do we ever get that chance again? Because it took for that guy who's famous and, Jesus Christ, what's his name? The dude that made, like, Romeo and Juliet, which I loved.
No, I know what you're talking about. He's a legit. We'll figure that out while we talk.
Yeah, but, like, I hated Australia. I was not a fan of, like, his the other stuff he did because, he butchered one of my favorite
Baz Luhrmann.
Baz Luhrmann butchered one of my all-time favorite things, The Great Gatsby. And I was just like, no, it's too over the top. You know? It's like the Speed Racer cartoon.
I didn't feel it either.
Yeah, it's like the Speed Racer cartoon. It was too much. But Baz Luhrmann has deep pockets. So he could afford a $120 budget on something about hip-hop culture, which is great.
Right.
Problem is, if you're a hip-hopper, it leaves something to be desired. So I wrote a piece about that, and it did numbers. I think it's over 45,000 views and something stupid approaching 50,000. And that's the most read, viewed thing I've ever written. Mm-hmm. All the pieces I've written on Medium, like 20-something pieces combined, didn't get that many views.
Damn.
And that was disheartening to me because I'm like, the reason everybody jumped on this is because I wrote about something that was on Netflix. And I was like, and all the other stuff I've written about the culture, which is around the same lines as what I wrote here, doesn't get anywhere near the same attention. So whereas I should have been happy that I wrote something that went viral and broke out and everybody was talking about and people are calling me up to want me to be on radio to talk about it. And I'm like, I'm declining them. Because I'm like, dude, Why didn't you want to talk to me about the other stuff I wrote about? When I wrote about 1981 being the year hip-hop broke out, why didn't you want to talk to me when I wrote about 1990 being a crucial year for rap, and how 1991 was the year that springboarded everything from 1992 on into the next golden era, and blah, blah, blah. I'm like, why didn't you want to talk about any of those things? But the second I write about the Get Down, now everybody wants to talk about it.
That's the game, though, Dart.
Yeah. I was just about to say, like, the Get Down is relevant for especially young people who don't know much about hip-hop. Like, that's their only, like, connection towards it. Mm-hmm. But I did want to, like, kind of share or kind of spit some back out at you. Okay. That you mentioned in the article that I found very interesting.
Cool.
And you talked about how, like, oftentimes whenever, like, we tell the story of hip-hop, we kind of like dress it up so we don't tell all of our dirt, but we kind of like just clean it up so it's like, here's the pretty picture of what hip-hop is. And you mentioned in your article, you said, in the case of the Get Down, I experienced something I've experienced far too often in the case of hip-hop related media, being told not to say anything negative about it because we finally were thrown a bone, and I kind of wanted you to kind of elaborate on it a little bit more.
Sure. Okay, like, I'll say it through the lens of, like, being a Bostonian. We never see ourselves. I never see myself when people are depicting Boston, Massachusetts. They don't come to Roxbury. They don't go to Lower Roxbury. They damn sure don't go to the South End. They might be in the Back Bay. They don't go to South End. They don't go to Mattapan, you know. They don't go to certain parts of Dorchester. They don't show, you know, Jamaica Plain pretty much doesn't exist. The Jamaica Plain I know, Eggleston Square going into it. Like, so when we look at that through the lens of hip hop, it's like, we should be happy that they did anything about the culture, because rocking the boat makes it so that we're unappreciative that they did anything.
Right.
When my whole thing is that if we're going to get something, at least fight for the best representation of someone to use their whole ass as opposed to being half-assed. Like, you have to raise your expectation level. Like, look at Rock. Had somebody written something that just didn't make it, or just didn't go all the way, or was inaccurate in regards to rock history, it would be a wrap for everybody.
Right.
It would be a wrap for everybody. Heads would roll. And I'm like, why don't we have those same standards for hip-hop and rap music as we do for rock? Like, I was explaining to somebody, I was like, I've grown up with music my entire life, so I know everything about rock. I know that there are rock journalists that could tell you the exact date that Paul McCartney and John Lennon met. They know the exact date.
Right.
I'm repeating. They know the exact date Paul McCartney and John Lennon met. Yeah. They know the first show the Quarrymen ever did. They know the first day a young Eric Clapton ever appeared on television in the UK to play skiffle. They know these things. We don't know the day that Q-Tip met the Jungle Brothers. I don't know the day that the Jungle Brothers met A Tribe Called Quest in Boston in my neighborhood. Like, I don't know. Like, we don't get that same appreciation or reverence for our music that rock does, so we don't get that same importance placed on the music, and it trickles down and it shows in everything.
Do you think some of that has to do with hip hop being a very in the moment medium? Not that rock isn't as much an expression as that, but like, hip hop is very like go with the flow, it's freestyle, it's very like just do what you have with what's going on, like, you know, you take the building blocks in front of you and run with them. You know, the details are kind of... Do you think it's just a part of the identity? Do you think we'll have a point where people know, like, this is the... At 7 p.m. on October 4th, Dart Adams, like, said
well,
this.
Well, it'll happen later, but not when it should have, because there was no importance placed on it, because it wasn't considered a real art form. Okay, so if you look at jazz, I always parallel hip-hop/rap with jazz and then punk down here. I go jazz, then punk down here. Rock is over here, because rock was already... Rock in the early days when it was coming out of black music...
The people listening cannot see your hands right
okay,
now.
Okay, so... yeah, I'm doing a timeline with my hands, people. So when rock was coming out of being a black music form, and then all of a sudden it got legitimized, I'm using air quotes, so y'all can't see me, when it got legitimized, that's when people could write about it and could treat it like it was legitimate, even though it was a black music form. Jazz was a black music form, but it had more respect than rock did. So it was always treated as an art. It was treated as art from jump. Like, first was the young people's music, and then all of a sudden it's highbrow music, then it's huge overseas, and so it's treated as art. So all those dates that I'm talking about, the same reverence, jazz has that reverence. Hip-hop never got that reverence. Punk ended up getting that reverence later. But because punk had so many journalists and people in the culture writing about it from its inception, and they named it punk early, and in 1977, that's when it broke through, and people were writing about it because they were white guys and white women, it was easier. The reason why rap never got that reverence is, one, because it's a new music, two, because it was mostly black, and three, because even black people who were up there in music, in the record industry, didn't like it.
No, not at all at first, actually.
They did not like it. So that's another thing that kept it from catching on. There were very few rap journalists, maybe like a handful of rap journalists early on, and they had to legitimize the music so they could write about it. And when they did write about it, they didn't get a lot of space. So that's one of the aspects. It all has to do with, like, was it considered an art form? How long did it take to be considered an art form? How long did it take to be considered not a fad?
And you could argue that there's even people today that would still tell you it's a fad. We're going to play a song in a minute, but one of the things I heard, and I don't know who said it, but the quote was, they're like, listen, you ask the average person, do you like hip-hop? They're going to say, no, I don't like hip-hop. But they say, do you like this song? They say, yes. Do you like this song? They say, yes. And if you go single by single, like, after, you know, five songs, like, all right, so you like hip-hop. You listen to mostly hip-hop. But it's this weird thing where it doesn't... Mm. Some people can't wrap their head around the fact that they're rap fans, which is wild. But anyway, with that being said, we're going to play a record. We'll be back with Dart Adams. I've been looking for a way to play this song for, like, probably a month now. I haven't found it, so we're just going to play it.
Looking for Megahertz.
WMS.
Weatherman. Cammy.
I knew someone would appreciate that.
Count these bars, count these bars.
Yes.
R.I.P. Kim Utel.
The late great, for those that don't know.
5 to 8 years ahead of his time, definitely.
Oh, yeah, hands down.
His last album came out on my birthday, posthumously, too. That was just like a sign for me. I was just like, yeah.
Yep. Futuristically fly like bird semen. I believe that's what he said at one point.
Oh, man.
So, with that being said, we got a segment. We weren't doing this last time you were here.
Mm.
It's Priscilla's When I Say Spit segment.
Dun, 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 dun.
Dun,
this
dun,
is the
dun,
hard-hitting dun. Question.
Intro music. So, When I Say Spit focuses on the art of lyricism and messages, and we've spoke about this before, but this is a little different because Dart Addisons is here, the hip-hop journalist. I don't know if you want to go by that still, no?
Eh, it's going to happen. It'll be on my tombstone. It don't matter.
Okay, cool. So I have a couple of hip-hop movies or movies that were about hip-hop. So I was inspired by the Get Down article. And I have a couple of movies that were based on hip-hop. And I'm probably going to name like three or four, depending on how much Sam lets me do. And each hip-hop movie that I name, whatever song that reminds you, or in a sense, whatever song or lyric that pops out to you that connects with the hip-hop movie, you name,
right,
and you tell me why.
Cool.
Word. All right, so the first one I'm going to name is Beat Street.
Okay, so for me, Beat Street would be Breaker's Revenge, because that song shouldn't have been in the film, because B-Boys didn't dance to songs like Breaker's Revenge. Arthur Baker is from Boston. He produced that song, and to me, the best part of that entire movie, because I thought it was whatever, but the best part of the entire movie is the Roxy battle between Beat Street, I'm using air quotes, and Dynamic Rockers, using air quotes. It was New York City Breakers versus Rocksteady Crew. Best part of that whole movie. Rest in peace to Kiriaki, Buck Four, a whole bunch of cats. I saw my heroes on screen b-boying.
All right, next one.
Wait a minute.
Oh, wait.
He's got to use a line.
No, I don't.
What is the question?
I said hip-hop songs.
So yeah. Oh, we changed
it. All right. Just so we can make it smoother, because I didn't know how long
I'm going to go back and hit him with the other one.
Word.
After. Keep it going. All right.
We can do that. All right. So, Belly.
Okay, so Belly, to me, it's Tommy's theme, because my cousin's group, Made Men.
The song?
Yes, Tommy's theme, because my cousin's group, Made Men, made a song with the Lox, and it was a huge joint. It was produced by Hangman 3 from Boston. Salute JB. Salute freaking Def Jeff. Jeff two times. So that's what I associated with, man. Or I could associate it with the opening scene, which is however do you want it, however do you need it, soul to soul. So yeah, those
legendary
two.
Hype Williams scene right there.
Yeah.
Yes.
Also, definitely. The reason I love The Life of Pablo, because when he flips the Sister Nancy, it reminds me of Belly. Yes. But this is Dart segment.
Right. Stop answering the question.
Sorry.
Brown Sugar.
Unfortunately.
Ooh.
It reminds me of the song Brown Sugar by Mos Def, because I absolutely abhor that movie.
Really?
Yes.
Why?
Because it is not, I'm using air quotes, hip-hop movie. It is the worst of the, air quote, hip-hop movies ever made. Matter of fact, I wrote an entire article called Why Doesn't Hip-Hop Have a... I wrote an article called Why Doesn't Hip-Hop Have a High Fidelity or a Almost Famous? And I based it all around the fact that all we had was Brown Sugar.
Well, in a sense, isn't it like a hip-hop love story? Like taking it... And
I ain't love it.
Okay.
Next.
I thought it was dope.
Hit him with one more. That was good, though.
Last one. I'm going to go with... 8 Mile.
Lose Yourself. Because 8 Mile was a great hip-hop / rap battle rap version of Purple Rain. It was beautiful. It was Purple Rain with a white dude who raps in Detroit. It was perfect.
Nice. You have very high standards for hip hop movies, I see.
Extremely high.
The key to understanding Dart is his high standards.
I was gonna say, what are some things that you like, other than like, I guess the exact dates, like what are some things that are like make the perfect hip hop movie for you?
Feel. There's a anime series right now called Kids on the Slope. Mm-hmm. And it's set in Japan in the late 60s. And it's about a Japanese kid who plays classical piano who meets a kid who plays jazz drums. And he's trying to convert the piano player to a jazz pianist. And all he keeps stressing to him is like, you're trying to play perfect. You're trying to listen to the record and play what he plays. No, it's about swing. It's about feel. Mm. So for me, hip-hop movies are not about necessarily getting the dates right, getting all these things right. It's about the feel. Mm. And once you have the feel, that can only come from somebody who's been immersed in a culture who understands the importance of having all these things fit so that they resonate with an audience.
Not forced.
Yeah.
Yes, absolutely not.
Well, I want to ask, well, actually, now I have a question.
Sure.
Real quick, and then I'm going to ask another one. What did you think of Dope?
I love Dope.
Because that was all feel. That was pure feel.
I loved Dope. I saw Dope early, at an early screening, at the Paramount Theater. I absolutely loved it. I wished that there was a way I could have owned a digital version of it immediately, or had it on DVD that night. I would have bought it. I loved that movie. There's a lot of films that like get it, that have that feel, everything I like about it. I love the feel of it more than I can break down exactly what happened in a scene.
Yeah.
Shameik Moore, who's also Shaolin Fantastic in The Get Down, he's a star. He's a star. As much as I talked about what I didn't like about The Get Down, I will tell you that the principal leads were great. The principal leads were fantastic. I think they're stars. But there were just individual things that is somebody with high standards I just couldn't rock with. Right. I couldn't rock with them saying that I Want to Be Sedated would have been something you heard in summer 77 when it didn't come out until an album that dropped in 78 and wasn't made a single until 79. They didn't even write I Want to Be Sedated in summer 77. So why would you, like, that's something you can, with all the money, you have a $120 million budget. That's something you could have easily remedied.
Yeah.
I knew that. Just send me a check and just have me go through everything and be like, that's wrong, that's wrong, that's wrong, that's wrong, that's wrong.
Maybe that's your new venture. Just fact checker.
Yeah.
Movie fact checker.
But they had people for that. I know. They dropped the ball.
Maybe they, yeah.
And they're famous. I'm just some dude in Boston.
Fame is nothing.
Yeah.
Anyway, so here's my question. This is my interpretation of the when I say spit question.
Shoot.
Because I have to know, Dart Adams.
I gotta know.
If you could pick one hip-hop lyric to describe Dart Adams
I like that.
To someone who doesn't know Dart Adams, what is the lyric?
I'll pick two. And for me, it's from either the same album or the same song. I'm not sure. The first one would be, I'm the living circle, circle, dot, dot, nobody can touch me. Which was said by Jay Treads in an Indelible song. That's Company Flow's group. So if anybody knows, like, Company Flow was part of Indelible MCs. So like that, and probably for me, it's either Rhyme or Euthanasia, which was said by LP. But like 1997 for me was a crucial year because it was the split between the underground and the mainstream, whereas 1996 was the end of a golden era. 1997 was the beginning of a huge chasm where we had one side and one side, and it became like a what I call like a rap slash hip hop apartheid. It was two separate rap industries being unequal. So 1997 was like crucial. It had like five or six albums that dropped that like really changed everything. One of them being Company Flow's Fun Crusher Plus, another one being Laterix, the album, Overcast, Atmosphere's Overcast, DJ Premier, Reality Check 101, Executioner's Expressions, you know, like albums like that. That like, oh, and the first Soundbombing. You know, like those were crucial 1997 albums where like it was like, all right, the underground's going this way and it's never going to be on the mainstream. And a lot of people that were on in the mainstream in 96 got cut off and they barely won the radio in 97 and 98. They were like dropped from their labels. It was nuts. The Jiggy era just took over.
As some, yeah, it was huge. You're right. It was huge. As someone who was a fan of both, as someone who had Soundbombing 2 was in heavy rotation with Kill the Mayor and all those joints, yeah. And then also Volume 2 at the same time. We're going to play a record. We're going to come back and close this out.
I have to add that he did that very smoothly.
Well, oh, yeah, it goes without it goes without saying.
The quickest responses yet. So
I have this in my head all the time. This is all I think about.
Hey, here's a question. Do you think in words or pictures?
I think in words to describe pictures, and I take pictures so that I can use words. I don't write stuff. I don't take pictures without having a caption at the bottom. I can't do it.
Okay. I like that. All right, we're going to play one. I had no idea you were such an LP head. I have some clean Run the Jewels here. He was kind enough to send that over. So
that's my dude. Run the Jewels is my people.
We're going to play one off RTJ2. This is Close Your Eyes and Count to You Can Fill in the Blanks. You're tuned in to Live Free or Die Radio.
Run them jewels fast. Run them jewels fast. Run them. The slow-mo.
Fashion slave, you protested to get in a book. Everything I scribbled like the anarchist cookbook.
Look good, posing in the center for the cookbook.
Black on black on black with a ski mask, that is my crook look. How you like my styling, bruh? Ain't nobody smiling, bruh. About to turn this mother up like Rikers Island, bruh. My thugs and my cripples and my blooders and my brothers. When you gon' unite and kill the police, motherfucker, or take over a jail, get them CO's hell. The burning of that sofa, damn, I love the smell. Blankets and pillow torching, where the warden? And when you find them, we don't kill them, we just waterboard them. We killing them for freedom, cause they tortured us for boredom. And even if some good was got, the Lord will sort them.
We out of order, your honor, you out of order. This old court is unimportant, you so walking corpses. I'm a flip wig synonym, living within distortion. A bite into a cyanide molar before you whores win. I'm a New Yorkie and I'm for the jump. I wear my Yankees so tilted, I actually walk with a hunch. Look at Mikey, I think he's Mikey. We are sinister sons.
Hey, we the type to preach you with a grin and a grin. Come on,
run them jewels fast, run them.
A wise man once said,
we all dead.
Just spit it, disgusting youngin', and hold your while you gunning. I listened, tatted the sentence of my dude last summer. Now I'll never get that phrase off my brain. It's no wonder I'm here to buy hearts. I got hundreds, honey. The cheaper the parts, the better buy for the money. I'm training, whispering, glistening, waiting for the christening. I know the neighbors can't help but listening. A dirty boy who come down on the side of dissonance. I can't even relax without sirens off in the distance. Not you, little buddy. This not into prison. The only solace I have is an act of conjugal visiting.
My solitary conditions preventing conjugal visits. Domain and missing my misses. They keeping me from my chilling conditions. Create a villain. The villain is giving vision. The vision becomes a vow to seek vengeance on all the vicious liars and politicians. Properties of the prisons. The forehead engravers, enslavers of men and women, including members of clergy that rule on you through religion.
So strip your kids to the nude and then tell them God will forgive them.
It's Taylor on the cut, lifting six on your stitching crew. I'm miles ahead of you, you can sit my through. My battle status is burning mansions from Dallas to Malibu. Check my resume, your residence is residue. Color of skin job, and my honey dip will backflip for you. You playing God, your eyes socket, she gon' rip it too. We sick of bleeding out a tray, spraying victim, you. Dunk, dying, Philip AK, in you. Eclipse in the bottom, we dipping from Gotham. Yes, eclipsed by the shadows of dark dance to the coffin. I'm a fellow with melanin, suspect of a felony. Rip like rock in my law, feds is checking my melody. Yes, aggressively testable, bomb stretches and penalties.
these dumb cases. We're facing a cop, please, when we season a pump. With reason to dump on you global grand dragons. Still piling fast bucks, Afghani toe tagging. Now they tracking me, yeah, we busting backseat. The only thing that close quicker than our caskets be the factory.
Running jewels fast, running jewels fast. Running jewels fast, running jewels fast. Running slow-mo.
Run the Jewels. We're back with Dart Adams. Dart is the man.
He is.
Boo. I hate that guy.
Big run. I had no idea about the Run the Jewels love. Now I'm real excited. We're going to have to come back and do another segment. Actually, we're going to have to figure out how to plug in with them next time they're in town. Get them to at least call in or something.
Run it.
Run it. So before we finish out here, I just got to let anyone tuned in. And you are tuned in because we're getting retweeted like crazy. Submissions at lfodradio.com. If you're an artist, you want to get involved, send us some cleans. We'll check them out. We'll go from there. At lfodradio on everything on the internet. Live Free OD Radio on Twitter. SoundCloud.com/lfod. Type in LFOD anywhere and we pop up. So definitely stay tuned. Next week, we got Prodigy calling in. He has a prison cookbook out that I think he's going to talk about, but we're going to talk about old Cormega songs. He doesn't know it yet.
Salute to Kathy Yandoli, who wrote it with him.
Word. See? Dart knows. So we got Prodigy on next week. And with that being said, we got a few more minutes here with Mr. Adams.
Yay.
Now, your biggest piece to date was one, you know, critiquing something. You are mm-hmm. known to be a bit of a critic.
Just a little
bit. With that being said, what are you feeling right now? Just pure positivity. What are you into right now in hip-hop? Whether it's stuff you're involved with or...
There's a whole lot. Luckily, I just had this conversation with my boy Kai from Hawaii, who came back from Hawaii yesterday. He was from Boston, but he moved to Honolulu, and he's back for a short time. Right now, I love... My dude's Apollo Brown. I think everybody should know that by now. I was part of the people that got him his deal on Mellow Music Group in the first place. So Apollo Brown just released an album, Sky Zoo. Absolutely love that. I love what Huss Kingpin did with the Winners, his new joint. Love that. Danny Brown,
nice.
His new joint. He never ceases to amaze me with how he expands things and how he like just morphs into something else and creates newness however he does it. I'm just like, I've known that dude for a minute now and it's like, wow.
His progression's crazy from mixtapes with Tony Yayo to where he is now.
Which never should have came out, but we're not going to talk about Hawaiian
Snow. Oh yeah, positivity.
We're
sorry,
not going to talk about Hawaiian Snow. Jesus, so much. Ka, Honor Killed the Samurai. I absolutely love that. I'm still listening to Fly God. Like it just came out. There's so much. Adrian Young just released a like an electronic album. That's amazing. The Luke Cage score/soundtrack. It's going to come out commercially soon. It's amazing. You need to hear that. Rex, Killing Rex's album. All 2 hours and 2 minutes of
right.
it. Right. Slain's new EP, Slain is Dead. He's not dead. He's reinvigorated. That is extremely dope.
SoundCloud.com/LFOD if you want to hear that.
Yes, that's crazy. I'm still listening to... like, everybody talks about albums of the year. I'm still listening to... Edison Park. I'm still listening.
Malibu is in heavy rotation.
It took Sam
always.
Forever to play Malibu.
I like.
What? Let's not spread lies. Okay. Let's hear from Dart Adams. Right
I
now.
Like Frank Ocean's album. I don't love it. How everybody is like really saying they love it. Solange's album I haven't heard yet, but I'm hearing great things about it.
Have you heard the new Mick Jenkins?
I've been asked that question and no.
Okay.
I've never been a Mick Jenkins guy, but I'll absolutely give it a try. What else did I Is there something else that I recently got? Oh, I've been listening to, okay, so when it was raining the past weekend, I listened to a whole lot of Earl Sweatshirt, because Earl Sweatshirt makes winter music and rainy day music, and he's great at it, and I wish he got the respect he deserves. So, there's a
lot. I feel like he gets a lot of respect.
I just don't think that people appreciate the level of greatness that they're receiving from him. Also, I still like listening to Tyler the Creator. And Tyler the Creator and the internet, to me, I don't have we don't have Nerd anymore, NERD. But if you have Tyler the Creator and the internet,
right,
we there. Just have Chad in the studio with him. We're good.
Boom.
I don't miss Nerd.
The internet's pretty dope, though.
I'm sound asleep on them. At least I know it.
They have a new
at
album. Least I know they just it. Announced they have a new album coming out.
All right, I'm gonna catch
and
up.
They're on the cover of Fader as well, so.
Yeah.
It's too dope. Pop. We're straight underground over here.
No, nah, they're not really pop.
Past the pavement.
Excuse me.
They're not really pop.
Nah, I'm kidding. No, I know. That'd be pretty ridiculous. I don't listen to anybody with album with magazine covers.
If you got a
magazine cover, you're out.
If you got a barcode on your record, I don't want to buy
it. Yeah, no. No ISRCs.
People are trying to get me to listen to new Bon Iver. I've never been a Bon Iver guy, but I don't know. I'll give it a chance.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm not even going to talk about... That's a good list. I like that. I've heard 50% of those. I agree with the ones I've heard. Mm. I like the Ka album. I was driving while I was listening to it, and I almost fell asleep. It's definitely not a...
No. Definitely.
Not in a bad way, but like I was like, okay, this is... It's late at night, I'm liking it, but yeah. Like that dude is like slow. Flow is his pocket right there.
See, the other thing is that like I've come to appreciate that there's music that you listen to for different reasons.
Right.
Like if you're working out, you don't want to hear Ka.
No.
You know what I'm saying? If you're trying to do something in a certain pocket, you don't want to hear Ka. But then again, I'm the type of person that watches like really depressing movies, and like that's my thing. We're about to reach the 20th anniversary of one of my all-time favorite films on the 18th. It's called Sleepers. And that's a tough watch for most people. I watch that like eating breakfast. You know what I'm saying? So...
I'm going to watch Sleepers before we talk again.
I feel like I know what it is. It's kind of a hard watch for most people. For me, it just reminds me of my childhood growing up in Boston.
Okay.
Minus the what happened to them.
I can do sadness. I'm in a horror movie kick right now.
Oh, then you definitely need to
finally
see this.
Saw The Babadook this weekend.
I keep hearing about that.
It's pretty good. We'll talk. That's a whole nother conversation. Priscilla, do you have anything to say before we get out of
Thank
here?
Thank you, Dart, for coming through.
Oh, no, there's no way. There's no way I wasn't going to.
Thank you for coming.
Another dope one in the books. Thank you, sir. We're going to put this online tomorrow. Like I said, follow us along at LFOD Radio on everything. You'll get the links if you want it straight from the source, mixcloud.com/LFOD Radio, LFODradio.com if you still use browsers, et cetera,
browsers.
Browsers. Yeah, they're out there. I don't get it either. Exactly.
Browsers.
Oh, they blew the return of that show, huh?
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Awful. We still have 2 minutes. I really thought Priscilla had something to say other than thank you.
Oh well, then I just point out that I found a Dead Boys record from 1978. That was exciting for me. Like,
we got it all here. We're gonna do a.
I like the fact that I grew up in Massachusetts with so much college radio, and it's all documented, and I can just look in a section, it's like E, and I know I'm going to find stuff from the East Coast or yep. Like the Northeast in there, because I know they got it.
Yep.
Yeah. And then I like looking at the date, and I just know, oh yes.
Yeah.
Yes. I know what era this is from.
We got it all. We gotta get the producers I know up here and have them start digging at some point, do a series. So
that's a lot of people from Detroit.
Well, we'll get them out here. Well, somehow. Anyway, I'm going to play this song because I noticed you were actually tweeting about this. Not this song, but Flips. You were talking about
Flip
songs
tricks.
That were like used by like maybe kiddie or friendly, you know, groups, and ended up being wicked hard songs. Oh. So,
oh, okay. One thing I have to say. The Kids from the Brady Bunch, Drummer Man. Find it on YouTube.
on it. With that being said, I believe this was originally a Criss Cross sample, and then it ended up being a huge Nipsey Hussle song. Shout out to First Year Project. They were on last week, and they were talking about Nipsey Hussle gets them through the day. So this one's called Hustle in the House. You're tuned in to Live Free or Die Radio. We're back next Tuesday with Prodigy. Live Free or Die.
DJ Ski exclusive.
The life, my friends. The good listeners. With this new drug, crack, I'm attracting a younger crowd.
Look, I'm coming straight off a slump. A crazy motherfucker named Nipsey. I'm turned up cause I grew up in the 60s. Caution, to you ratchet and try and diss me. I go hard, that's why your shit wanna flip me. Big guns, looking to turn rivals into rosaries. Extended clips, I give a fuck who you supposed to be. Straight off the block, I sold dope to buy groceries. Now it's rap money, no advances, all royalties. You broke it and you can follow me. It's fuck, get money, keep some hollow heads logically.